I had a runaway propeller, and the shaft in the engine and the propeller was hooked onto that shaft. Somehow or other it broke, and the faster we went, the higher RPM that prop out there went. Could not feather it. About 125 miles an hour is as fast as I could go, so I couldn't keep up with the group, and we fell out of group, and we're out by ourselves. I kept trying to dump the propeller off there. It was sitting out right, almost, I could almost touch the blade with my hand. So this, I would dump the airplane down, I'd pull back on it, I'd just twist it, I would skid it with the rudder back and forth. And all that prop out there would do was run against the cowlings. Pieces of stuff would fly off. But I had tried my best to dump it because I didn't want that thing coming loose and coming right on through my legs. But after a while, it wasn't going to come off, I didn't think. So we turned around and still had the bomb load. This was pretty close to the end of the war. I wasn't worried about fighters because they just didn't have any. And we had so many P-51s flying around, too. I don't remember if one came and set up on my wing or not, but one did one day. And he had his flaps down, his wheels down, and he's sticking his hands out. Anything that would slow him down, just stay at our speed. But anyway, that prop wouldn't go off, so I thought nothing more about it. And we got to the channel. Cuffy called up. He was the toggleer. He toggled the bombs out. And he said, what are we going to do with these bombs? And I said, well, let's just dump them in the channel. That'll be fine. So we got over the channel, and he said, bombs away. And so we closed the bomb bay doors and never thought any more about it. Went home, got to the runway, and I came down, and the second the wheels touched that concrete, boy, just the second it did, that propeller went off in front of us, just went whew, way on out there, and those great big bubble in front of the propeller holds the gears, and all those gears up there are covered by a big housing. It's big enough that when the prop went down, it got on that housing, and it was spinning around on the runway just like a big top. Just screaming, and I tried my best to miss that dadgum thing. I would stand on one rudder, and the plane would just jump sideways. I was going about 125 miles an hour, and then I'd stand on the other one, and the plane would turn, but it wouldn't move out of the direction of the propeller. It was down on the runway. And went right over top of it. I went right over the top where it was, where it came off. It was still the same trajectory. And that thing cut that ball off of there and sliced the tail of that airplane, and they jumped the airplane. But that was some experience to ride over your own propeller. Oh, yes. Dropping the bombs in the channel was a bad thing. Because I got a call from the colonel. So I went up to see Colonel Mack. And he said, Bob, he says, the Navy has just chewed me up on one side and down the other because of what you did. I said, what did I do? He said, well, you dropped the bombs in the channel and almost hit one of our submarines. And I sweat about that every once in a while. I think just what that could have done. Early flyers, the ones in 1940, end of 42, beginning of 43, when they first started setting these bomb groups up, they had terrible time. German fighters would come and line up and teach the other ones how to go through a formation. Had horrible times. There were 66 planes knocked down one day. That's a lot of airplanes. That kind of thing. That was in 1943. When I got over there, I had the easiest of everything because we knew how to make formations. We knew how to do things that the other guys sweated and blew up and run together and all kinds of things that we did know how to avoid because of them. My level of service, we did not know why we were going on a trip. That's another thing that I learned after the war was over. Now I can understand why we went on certain bombing trips, like the ball bearing factories or the oil camps. We didn't know a thing about where we were going or the whys and what fors. Just lucked out. There were no real war involved with me, and the only scary time was when an ME-262 jet fighter would go alongside out here and go past us and past our P-51s, then make a great big turnaround, come straight back head on to us, and you'd see these tracers going by out your window, and you knew there were six shells in between every one of those tracer bullets. It was scary then. That was real war. The rest of it, I didn't have much trouble. Mary and I went back to the base in 1977. I didn't think that would be very eventful for me. I thought I'd just go out and see the thing, see what was there. But it really bothered me. Went back to the base in England. We were on a bus tour. And when we were going through France, the tour director would be telling us about this and that, like they do. This one kept saying, now, we just went over a bridge, and that's been there since 1492. And then to go over another one, and that one has been here since 1482. Some of us old guys in there that had been there during the war, we got to laughing about that, because every one of those bridges was blown up. There wasn't a bridge. There wasn't a bridge standing on when all the army went through there.
You didn't correct the tour guide.
Yeah, we did.
You
we
did.
Laughed him down, and I expect we should not have, because he was just so interesting anyway. I never did fly after the war. I had enough. So I did what most old pilots do. I raised a family, practiced my optometry, and did that. I want to thank Jeff Corrigan for coming and interviewing me. It's a real honor to be able to do this and tell some of my life story. I want to thank you again, Jeff, for that. It's just,
and I appreciate it, and the State Historical Society appreciates it, because these stories, we keep compiling them, and it's just great information that people, it's just not out there, so we get as much as we can. So no, we really do appreciate it too.
The crew reunions every May for years, my crew, and there were 10 of us on it. The men liked each other and the women liked each other. It was a very happy time.
Did you tell me that there's only three of you left?
There are three of us left.